ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, Text 11. Harita Hari Bishaspir Indra Gopaischa Lohita Uchilindra Krita Chaya Rinam Sri Eva Bhuvabhut Harita Hari Bishaspir Indra Gopaischa Lohita Uchilindra Krita Chaya Nrinam Sri Eva Bhurabhut Harita Hari Bishaspir Indra Gopaischa Lohita Uchilindra Krita Chaya Nrinam Sri Eva Bhurabhut Harita Hari Bishaspa Indra Gopaischa Lohita Uchilindra Krita Chaya Rinam Sri Eva Bhurabhut Harita Hari Bishaspa Indra Gopaischa Lohita Uchilindra Krita Chaya Rinam Sri Eva Bhurabhut Harita Hari Bishaspa Indra Gopaischa Lohita Uchilindra Krita Chaya Rinam Sri Eva Bhurabhut Matajis Harita Hari Bishaspa Indra Gopaischa Lohita Uchilindra Krita Chaya Rinam Sri Eva Bhurabhut Harita Hari Bishaspa Indra Gopaischa Lohita Uchilindra Krita Chaya Word for word. Harita, greenish. Haribi, which is green. Shaspahi, because of the newly grown grass. Indragopahi, because of the Indragopa insects. Cha, and. Lohita, reddish. Uchilindra, by the mushrooms. Krita, afforded. Chaya, shelter. Nrinam, of men. Shrihi, the opulence. Eva, justice. Bhu, the art. Abhut, became. Translation. The newly grown grass made the earth emerald green. The Indragopa insects added a reddish hue, and white mushrooms added further color and circles of shade. Thus the earth appeared like a person who has suddenly become rich. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami comments that the word Nrina indicates men of the royal order. Thus the colorful display of dark green fields decorated with bright red insects and white mushroom umbrellas can be compared to a royal parade displaying the military strength of a king. Om Gyana Tirman Sya Ginan Jana Shalaka Shakram Tamina Tasma Shri Guru Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nam. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachwani Nirvishesha Shunivadi Pashtadi Shatani. Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Satsu Pradaska Samitnami Satsu Pravandi Vinandana Shadu Vishnu Bhakti Vinandana 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 Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Deita Garada Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vindaka Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we've seen that the rainy season has begun, and the place has started to take a different outlook altogether. During this time, the sun usually evaporates the water, especially from the ocean, and then form different types of clouds. If you look up in the sky, you see many, many different clouds, and each one of those clouds has like a different name. Each feature, like you have cirrus, stratus, cumulus, nimbus. The nimbus is the heavy rainy cloud. When that gets heavy and dark, it falls as rain. It falls differently in different areas. For example, each geographic demarcation or location, you find the rainfall differently. In the tropics, it's different from the subtropics. In the climatic regions, it's different from the frigid regions. See? This is like there's one verse in Bhagavad Gita that says, Anad Bhavanti Bhutani, stated there that all living entities subsist on food grains. Food grains come from rain. Rains come from jagya. And jagya comes from prescribed duty. See? So maybe that's a reason why that you find that the rain itself falls differently in different locations. See, it's something to think about. See, if you study in the tropical areas, the rain falls quite differently from the subtropical areas, and so forth. See, so this rainy season can be compared. There's a nice comparison whereby it's stated that the spiritual master gets benediction from the ocean of mercy and showers it upon the conditioned living entity, thus mitigate the burning fire of material existence. See? So just like the rainy season, when the rain comes, it mitigates the burning heat of the summer season. Similarly, the spiritual master, samsara davana nara lida loka tranaya karuna guna ganatvam praptasya kalyana unana vasya vande guru shri charnara vindam. Maybe when I sing it, I can pronounce it better. But every morning we enunciate this song, glorifying the spiritual master, see? Because this material existence is like a burning fire. See? Like a burning fire. And when the spiritual master shower his mercy, he mitigates it. See? We know we are no longer running after the fire of lust and greed and material pursuits and so forth. So, sometimes it's stated that some personalities like yogis and gurus and religionists and so may try to help in different ways, but it's of little avail. But when the guru comes, it's different. See? It's different. So sometimes when there's heat, we try different means, like, you know, like if there's a forest fire, you have like a water brigade, the helicopters and so forth, they bring some water, but it doesn't do much. But when the rain comes, it immediately extinguishes the blazing fire or the heat, the fire of the summer sun. So this is nice. There's a similar verse to this one in the Ramayana. I like to read it. It stated, flying quickly to meet their longings for the rainy clouds, a jubilant row of heron looked like a long garland of white lotus flowers adorning the sky, with its new grass sprinkled with newborn red Indragopa insects. The art looks charming, like a woman with a green blanket, speckled with red cochineal, wrapped tightly around her waist. This is from the Ramayana, Kishkinda Kanda, chapter 1. See? It's similar to our verse today. You see that the grass is green and the red insects, so forth. It's very interesting. So here we see that the earth is carpeted with green grass. Even now is the rainy season. If you look outside, we see that the grass is lush and green and beautiful. See? Very beautiful. And also, not only for the looks, not only does it cover the earth or clothe the earth or carpet the earth, but it's food for so many living entities. So many living entities, and especially the cows. See, when the cow get the lush green grass, there's an abundance of milk. See, and from the milk, we could get so much different preparations. So this is wonderful. And then Lord Chaitanya also says that we have to try to become like the grass. See? We have to try to become like the grass. Trinada Pisa Nishina Tara Pisa Hishnuna. Amani Manadena Kirtana Sadahai. See? By becoming humbler than a blade of grass, we can able to chant the holy name of the Lord nicely. And but we find that not all areas are lucky to have this wonderful grass. Sometimes, if you look at a world map, sometimes there are patches of brown. See, those areas never get the grass, and that is especially because of the shortness of rain, the rainfall. If you check most of the Arabic regions, and especially like Northern Africa, the whole area is completely desert-like. Then, of course, there's another part like in Australia, the Great Australian Desert. Very little grass. You have the Mongolian Desert, very little grass, Peruvian. We have a little part in North America also, Mojave Desert. So these areas get very little rainfall. For whatever reason, I don't know if Indra has punished them or what, or the geographic location. But these regions get very little rainfall and very little grass. See? But the grass is very essential for so many things in the world. And then it's stated that it's been reddened by the Indragopa insect. The Indragopa insect is said to be the smallest species of life. Of the 8,400,000 species, the Indragopa is said to be the smallest, the tiniest. But somehow during the rainy season, it multiplies itself into a great, in great abundance, and it shows red. It shines red, and it's a form of decoration. Has anyone ever seen the Indragopa insect here?
I think you've seen it in Diana.
Possibly. I did.
Kind of so tiny and red.
Very, very tiny. But you cannot see it with its naked eyes, but I guess when it's multiplied. Just like there's one plant or plantoon called the Spirogyra. It's a unicellular plant, single cellular. But when it multiplies itself, it could take over a whole lake or a whole river. So the Indragopa insect is something like this. And I guess it's been called this because it has something to do with the rain. When the rain comes, then it can multiply itself a lot. You see? There was some hint of this on the internet. See? So that's why it derives that name. But it's... Recently I did some plowing, and then as I was looking carefully, I saw a lot of red spots, you know. And I was wondering what was it really. But then I thought maybe it's the same Indragopa insect there. Maybe I have to research it a little bit more. See? And then it stated that the mushrooms, the white mushrooms, look like umbrellas. In fact, the mushrooms looks like umbrella. And this is compared, a comparison is given here, a light metaphor, like a simile. It's stated that the earth looks like a man that has gotten rich suddenly. See? That's like a simile. A metaphor would be the earth is a man, is a rich man. See, that would have been the metaphor here, really. But the simile, it says, like a man that has gotten rich suddenly. See? And in the purport, it stated that it looks like a royal procession. A royal procession is like a king going with his army. Colorful army. The army is usually like green, and then there's, you know, there are other colors with umbrellas. Maybe the king might have an umbrella over his head and so forth, marching through. See? It looks like a colorful parade. So similarly, the earth looks beautiful and colorful. See? So what Lord Krishna says, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam. He says that, know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creation springs but from a spark of my splendor. Springs but a spark of my splendor. And then Kunti Devi, she prays, Neham Shobishyate Tatra. He says, O Gadadhar, because your imprints has your lotus feet has been imprinted on our kingdom. It looks beautiful. Looks beautiful. But when you leave, it would no longer be so. See? So that beauty would no longer be there. What we should also understand that during that this time in this scene, the ocean of mercy himself is present upon the earth. And he is like a dark cloud, like a dark rain cloud. And he's showering his mercy upon the living entities. See? At this time, during this rainy season that we're speaking about, the ocean of mercy is there like a rain cloud. See? Like a dark rain cloud. And he looks like a dark rain cloud, showering his mercy upon the living entities. See? Showering his mercy upon the living entity. And so this rainy season is not like any rainy season. This rainy season is one in a million. Because the Lord comes once in the day of Brahma to shower his mercy upon the earth. See? Once in a day of Brahma. And that is 4,320,000,000 years. See? We missed him by 5,000 years, which is not much if you calculate. It's very, very, maybe in transcendental time a few seconds we've missed him by. In fact, we should still consider ourselves very fortunate. Because if you go to the Holy Dam in India right now, there's so many remnants of his pastimes there. See, you go to Vrindavan and all the other holy places. There's so many. See, so we're very, very fortunate of that. We have not really missed the Lord by such a long time. And his pastimes is still being recalled over and over again, you know, because it's still fresh upon the mind. But year to come, another 100,000 years, 200,000 years, it would not be so. See, it would not be so. Kali Yuga would be in its full flow, and it would not be as it is today. And then we are even more fortunate because Lord Chaitanya also came just 500 years ago. See, so we can consider our good fortune. See, so when the Lord was on the planet 5,000 years ago, everything, even the rain, would fall in obedience. See. The flower would bloom in obedience. The grass would grow in obedience. See? The animals would move in obedience. Everything. See? Because they were so happy and so jubilant by the presence of the Lord. See? So in this whole chapter, we'd find that there's so much comparisons and metaphor. Very beautiful, this whole chapter. The rainy season and the autumn, it's very, very beautiful. And so we'd read so much about it. See, so the Lord says, Etam vibhutim yogam cha. One who knows of my opulences, engage in my devotional service. See? And so, by listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, by reading Bhagavad Gita, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand the opulence of the Supreme Lord. We can understand His glories. And we should try our utmost to surrender to Him. You see? By engaging in His devotional service, one becomes freed from the material miseries, see, and return back home, back to Godhead. So this is a very very interesting chapter, and this is a nice scene here where the Lord is present on the planet and showering His mercy upon all the conditioned living entities, and we should take full advantage of this and try to become serious in our Krishna consciousness. See? If we study the prayers of Kunti Devi, she had such great realization of the Supreme Lord. Such great realization, even though she had so much opulence and she had so many powerful sons. But her realization was unique and great. She said, Namo Kinchana Vitaya. He says, I offer my obeisances unto you, O Krishna, for you are the property of the materially impoverished. See? You are the property of the materially impoverished. She says, Janmaishvarya Shuta Shribir. She says that those that are madly pursuing material happiness, then for them it's difficult to approach you with sincere feelings. See? It's difficult to approach you with sincere feelings because they're after something else. See? And there were so many other prayers. She said, Kevayam Namarupabhim, as name and fame of the body ends with death, if you do not look upon us, all of our fame and activities would also end. And of course, this is very true, because we find that when Arjuna was taking the ladies from Dwarka to Indraprastha, some robbers attacked him, and suddenly he hadn't the power that he had before. There was no power. He had the same Gandiva bow, he was the same Arjuna, everything. But because the Lord had left the planet, see, all his fame and all his strength and everything had dissipated. See? She says, Kevayam Namarupabhim. No, sorry. Vipada Shantuta Shashvat. I wish that these calamities may happen again and again, so that I can remember you again and again, or we can see you again and again. For by seeing you, then we will no longer see birth and death. See? For by seeing you, we no longer see birth and death. These are very, very great realization, great prayers. See? Very. If you study the prayers of Mother Kunti, so wonderful. So, similarly, in our position also, we have to try to learn the art of becoming steady and try to keep at a reasonable pace. See? Not make like 2 steps forward and then 10 backwards. Even if we make 1 step forward, we try to continuously make that step continuously. You see? So we know that there are many things we're busily engaged in, so many ways, see? But also, apart from trying to uplift in ourselves, we want to help to uplift the world. We want to take the role of we want to help to take the burden of the spiritual master and help to do the same by trying to preach also, qualify ourselves and preach also, see? So that the world can become Krishna conscious. See? If we try to just be home in our comfort zone, then that is not so pleasing to the spiritual master. But if we try to come and show our solidarity, see, by engaging by taking part in the program, by coming to the program, and especially for parents also, try to cajole your children. So, sometimes to get my kids to come here, I might have to make like 50 phone calls. See? So try to cajole, try to entice your children to come. You see, because sometimes it seems that they're losing interest. See? This is summertime. There's no college now. There's no school now. See? But most of them, it's difficult, you know, even to wake up early is difficult. So we have to play a role, not only the temple authorities, but each one of us has to try to play a role and try to entice them to come and to encourage one another to come too. See? To encourage one another to come and partake in the program. See? Because it's personally it's for our own good, and then it's good example for others, so that we can help others to become Krishna conscious also. And so the last point I like to make is that it's stated that the earth has suddenly become like a rich man. And I cite two examples. There was one of Sudama Vipra. When he went to Krishna, he did not ask for anything. He took a little chip rice. And that was it. And he was so ashamed of his poverty-stricken position that he did not even want to give it to Krishna. He felt so ashamed. But Krishna knew, and Krishna says, "What nice you have in your pocket here. Let me taste. Let me see what you have here." And he grabbed it. And he took one bite, and he was going to take another one. And it was Rukmini grabbed him and says, "One bite is enough. See, is enough to satisfy the whole world. See." So he did not ask anything. He went back home, and he was going, and within his mind he was saying he saw his friend, see, but he didn't ask for anything. But then as he was going, he couldn't recognize anywhere. He couldn't recognize his place, his nowhere. I mean, he was wondering if I'm in the right spot, see. So he suddenly became like a rich man. But he was not moved by that. He was not moved by that in any way. He accepted his position. He knew that it was his friend, see, the Lord, that gave him that. And you know, his queen was happy, his servants and everything, but he was not moved by that, see. And there's another example. There was the example of Nahusha. Nahusha was a great king on earth, but then he was promoted to the heavenly kingdom. But when he was promoted to the heavenly kingdom, he saw so much opulence there that he got dumbfounded. He didn't know what to do. He got completely carried away. See, when he saw Sachi Devi, he wanted to have her as his wife. But she was the wife of someone else. She was the wife of Indra. See? I guess most of you know the story. But he completely blew it, really. The richness turned his head. And then what happened? The sages went to pull his palanquin, and then he offended them. And then he was cursed to become a serpent on earth. But then he was benedicted that when he answered the questions of Maharaj Yudhishthira, then he would become liberated from the snake body. See? And he answered the questions of Maharaj Yudhishthira. And then he told Maharaj Yudhishthira, "Maharaj Yudhishthira asked him how you became so deplorable in this despicable situation." He explained the whole story. He says wealth blinds one. He says opulence make one so much blinded and so much puffed up, see, that he does not see clearly, that he gets carried away. And because of that, this is my fate. See, like that. So this is a great lesson for us also. If we have like little opulence or so, be very careful. Don't make it hinder us from our devotional service. Don't make us impede our path to spiritual progress, to come into the temple, take part in the programs. See? We should heed this lesson. And so these are the examples of the rich men. So I'll stop here if there's any comment or question or correction or anything. Yes, Prabhu?
So there were two things, not correction, this is just other things. One is that in the end, when Arjuna was taking the queens of Dwarka to Indraprastha, that time the dacoits that came to kidnap them, they were actually Krishna himself. Because previously, from Rohini Ma, the mother of Balaram, those queens had heard about how great the gopis of Braj were. They had always heard undercurrent, because Krishna used to dream about them so many things, but then they literally heard from Rohini their glories. Later on, Lalita Madhava Rupa Goswami describes that Krishna once took the gopis of Braj to Dwarka, and both at Kurukshetra during the eclipse, and at that time when Krishna took them to Dwarka, the queens of Dwarka had darshan of gopis, saw how great their love was, and they also aspired to want to love Krishna with that kind of intensity. But they could not give up the idea of being pativrata, means like a chaste wife. So they always wondered how this would happen. So during near the end of Krishna's lila, to fulfill that desire, Krishna himself appeared as the dacoits and kidnapped them, and in this way they could have that type of relationship. The other thing is, in this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam, it was explained that there were 88,000 rishis that were there to hear Srimad Bhagavatam at that time when Parikshit Maharaj was hearing from Shukadeva Goswami. So Shukadeva Goswami spoke what is called Sanket Bhasya. Sanket means like to give a hint. So for instance, if you're trying to raise funds for the temple and there's a very wealthy member of the congregation in the audience, you might say something like, yes, some devotees are extremely wealthy and have such great capability to help us. You didn't directly address that devotee, but because he's in the audience, it kind of, it will hit him because he knows. So in the same way, Shukadeva Goswami gave a hint about the feeling of the gopis at that time, because this is the beginning of their Purvarag. Purvarag means this is the beginning of their deep feelings of separation due to love. They're just coming into maturity. So he gave, by poetic example, how new-grown grass is coming. This new-grown grass with its green color. So the green color, when you mix sham, dark blue color, with gold, which is the color of Radharani, you get this green color. Then he mentioned the Indragopa, these red color within. So red, if you look in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you'll see red is the color of Anurag. And Anurag is the nature of Radhika's love for Krishna. It's called Anurag. And then he mentioned the white mushroom because he wanted to differentiate. This is not like ordinary material world love or lust. This is pure. So he used this example. So those rishis who were rasagyan, like in the first chapter of Bhagavatam, it says, shinvatam rasagyanam swadu swadu pade pade. That those who were rasagyan, means they understood these things, they were relishing this thing. But then for all the other 88 rishis, some of them were liberationists, some of them were karma mimamsis, they all got instructions according to their different levels. But Bhagavatam itself is really meant, it says, Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavak, was really meant for Rasik devotee, like this. So in this way, Shukadeva Goswami so expertly spoke it in a way that he was able to get his message across without directly revealing. So this is a very wonderful, wonderful thing about Srimad Bhagavatam.
Very nice. Where did you get this explanation?
Also written in Ujjal Nilamani, also the story is written in Lalit Madhava about taking gopis to Braj. And also, Jiva Goswami has commented that and Vishwanath Chakravarti, that those dacoits that kidnapped the queens, they were actually Krishna himself.
Interesting, very interesting. Yeah. But I think after Krishna left, Arjuna was not like the same, you know, or even the Pandavas or everybody, they were not the same. They look like they have lost. It says the art had lost its luster. And everything, nothing was the same anymore. When Krishna left the planet, later on we'll read about that. Like the whole atmosphere was really sad and was different altogether. You know. And then it stated that so many things left with Krishna, like beauty and truthfulness and so many other things left with him too, you know. So they were not the same, you know. Yeah. Keshava Prabhu? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.